Ball hit deep in the left center field. Wise back. Makes the catch!
What a play!
Wade Wise makes the catch! What a play by Wise! Mercy!
This is the Shoeless Goat Podcast.
Brent Brown drops the ball! He drops the ball! 3 runs will score!
You gotta be paping me! What in the hell are you doing?
Hello and welcome to the Shoeless Goat Podcast. We're a Cubs, White Sox, and MLB podcast ready to start the season. I'm your host, Nick, and I'm joined again by the mayor of Section 509 and the soon-to-be owner of a Johnny Cueto White Sox jersey, Patrick Bovard. Pat, how are you?
I'm doing great, Nick, and I do got to say I like that intro a lot, and it would not be the worst White Sox jersey I have. We're probably the most random I got. Let's see. Matt Thornton, All-Star Game 2010. I got a Carlos Quentin one in there somewhere. The Jake Peavy jersey's in my closet right now. So it would be a welcome addition to eat some innings and get into that rotation. And so I was going to say, on a similar note, thank God the night I was at the stadium and almost bought a Craig Kimbrell jersey after having a few beers. They didn't have any in the stadium shop.
I wish I could say the same for the current jersey I'm wearing, the Patrick Wisdom, which was definitely purchased under the influence. But I got to tell you, man, I love it now because I can't. I'm sure there will be more of them in the stands than there were last year, considering the direction of the team. But I for sure was the only one in the stadium wearing that.
I didn't see anyone else.
Had I had two more beers, I might have bought the Rafael Ortega.
Hey, you got to start somewhere.
Yeah, exactly. But just the idea of the Wisdom jersey is great. I will 1,000% buy a Johnny Cueto White Sox jersey, depending on the availability of the latter.
We're writing that one down.
You don't have to. I love Johnny Cueto. I want him to be a Cub so bad. But as it always happens, when someone I want to be a Cub, the chances are they'll be a White Sox first, just because usually I want those like goofy, like low-budget guys.
Yeah, you missed one thing, though. When you want them to be a Cub, they'll be a White Sox 5 years after that.
Exactly. No, there's definitely a gap. Yeah.
Just got to let them age to maturity.
Ken Griffey and Manny Ramirez were just, you know, just whomping the Cubs year after year. And then all of a sudden, here they are on 35th and Shields.
Got to get all the legends in town.
Absolutely. All right. So we're going to start the show off pretty hot, actually. We did, you know, predictions last episode, vaguely who was going to win the divisions. We're going to hop right into it, Pat. Who do you have winning the World Series and representing each league?
You know, we were talking about this, you know, just before we went on, and I was deciding, well, I guess, let me put it this way. I have the Dodgers winning the National League. That one is, I'm going with chalk. I don't think there's any logical reason I can pick against them. Just, you know, star power top to bottom. Even if Cody Bellinger is useless, they're still a really damn good team. So I'm going with Dodgers. And now they have their lockdown closer. So pretty good lineup they're trying out there now with they're a right fielder down in AJ Pollock. But, you know, they got their closer. On the AL side, I was deciding, do I want to be the guy that picks the White Sox as a homer? I mean, not, you know, it's not a terribly homer pick, but it would 100% be a homer pick. I'm not going to argue that. Or do I go with who – if the White Sox were not a thing, I would pick, and that's the Toronto Blue Jays. I convinced myself to go the homer route right before we started. So I'm going with the White Sox to win the AL, and I'm picking them over the Dodgers in 7 to win the World Series. 1959 revenge.
Love it. So, yeah, I every year pick Michigan State to win the College Basketball National Championship. I was right in 2000. I haven't been right since, but I guess.
All you need is one, though.
All you need is one, but I just like, I don't want it to be the year that they don't win and I pick them. So I completely understand that logic. It's just not going to happen, Pat, because I've got the Blue Jays beating the Phillies in 6 games. For some reason, I just always fade the Dodgers in the playoffs. And most of the time I'm right. I'm always right in 162 game seasons. So
that's fair.
No, I love the Blue Jays top to bottom, especially adding Chapman.
Yeah.
But then you look at just the rotation, Ryu, and I don't know where they're going to slot their top three. If you go on 3 different websites, they have 3 different guys being the top starter. But you have Ryu, Berrios, Gausman, Manoah, probably my favorite in the rotation just because of the gas he throws. And then they got Kikuchi from the Mariners to be the 5th starter. So the only weakness I see is the bullpen, and it's not even that bad. So
yeah, I mean, I think that's the thing is like in the playoffs, it's like you can have the best rotation in the American League and one of the best rosters on paper, and then your team gets curb stomped by the Astros in four games. So anything can happen come the playoffs. But I said, it was White Sox or the Blue Jays, and I went with the hometown team. I do like that you brought up the Chapman trade. I think that was their best move of the offseason by far, not only for his bat, which I think is going to rebound, but defensively, their infield. I mean, I think it's fair to say that with an infield with Bo Bichette and Vladdy is not the best defensive infield, and having that guy at third is a huge plus there, where you don't have to have somebody playing out of position. So ultimately, I if the White Sox cease to exist, I would agree with your World Series pick.
Yeah, and I think Chapman kind of plays half of shortstop too, so yeah. He doesn't really have, you know, they don't True. Have to worry about that side as much.
Put Bo Bichette right behind second base; he can just stand there.
I was listening to some commentating on MLB Network today, and they were just talking about like, is the loss of Marcus Semien gonna, you know, stop this team from winning at all? And I'm like, but if you replace him with Chapman, like, I still think that's an upgrade. It's close.
Yeah, because I guess the thing you got to think about is Marcus Semien ever gonna hit 45 home runs again? I would bet no. I think he had a damn good year at a really good time. And I think he's still going to be a great player, but I don't think he would even if you brought him back, I don't think he puts up the 2021 numbers again.
Yeah. I think he's going to light it up in Texas, but it's going to be like 32 home runs,
which is,
you know?
Chapman can do that with probably better. I mean, Semien's a fine defensive player, but with probably better defense at a more premium position. So.
And then, yeah, just Phillies, man, that top of that rotation solid. The bats are really, really solid.
They're good. I can't do it with the defense, man. It's going to be ugly, especially in a playoff game. I can't do it.
It's like these super teams every year with all these crazy bats never do well, but it's not because of their defense, but their defense is always a problem. I don't know. Phillies, they've been due to, like, play well the last, like, 5 years now and just have sucked. So, I don't know. Bryce Harper is not capable of an MVP season when his team is good. It's like the classic Joey Votto like scenario where he's always good when they suck.
Yeah, I got the Phillies in the playoffs, but I don't think their bullpen is that good. Their rotation, I mean, their rotation is good, and then obviously they're going to score a lot of runs, but it's going to be there are going to be some very badly misplayed balls in that outfield, and I think in a playoff series it'll cost them.
I just can't.
162, it doesn't. Who cares? But.
I just can't. How much over under number of inside the park home runs hit against the Philadelphia Phillies this year? I think over under 1.5.
Oh, I'm taking the over. Easily.
Over? You think that it should be like over under 3.5? Like you think
I,
that it's possible
I would honestly
give up
guess
four
it's somewhere.
Inside
between, I think it's. I would maybe I'm being a little bullish here, but I'd guess somewhere between 5 and 10.
Whoa.
I am not everything I've read about this team and just looking at the like who's on there. I think it is because it's not only the outfielders get the brunt of this defense is bad. Their entire infield is pretty freaking bad at defense.
Yeah, I would only say the under on 5 for inside the park homers because I think that there's going to be errors involved which take away.
Oh, true. That's a good point. You know, unless it's like Schwarber diving and then the ball rolls into the corner and then.
Not we're no stranger to that scenario occurring. I'm just saying right now. But also like when like the ball gets like caught by Hoskins and he just like absolutely airmails it over Real Muto. Like it's gonna happen as well. So
I mean I'm excited to see what they do, but I don't know.
A lot of little league homers in Philadelphia this year for sure.
Well, they'll be hitting the big league ones, but yeah, it's gonna be the other teams that'll
yes. Get. With that being said, we're going backwards now. Let's go with who's going to make the playoffs, and I'll start, and we're going to do National League first just to make you wait, Pat. So I ordered these in not necessarily how they'll be playoff seeded, but just number of wins, so like records. Okay. So my one seed's going to have my most wins. I've got the Dodgers having the most wins. That's pretty obvious. But then I have the Phillies getting the second most wins. And then I have the Mets getting the third most wins, making the playoffs on a wild card. Then I have the Padres with the fourth most wins. So we have not had a central team yet, but there will be two central teams that make it because it's going to be Cardinals and Brewers. Cardinals win the division and Brewers. So each team is sending two. That leaves the Giants, the Cubs, and the Braves as my teams that miss it ever so slightly. But yeah, I've got Dodgers and Padres, Cardinals and Brewers, Phillies and Mets making it in the National League.
This will be fun. I actually got a lot of disagreements with that in terms of my teams. Let's see. I guess I'll list mine, and then we can talk through, you know, kind of how we stack up. So I'm going Dodgers first one seed. Yeah, that's pretty. If you're using any sort of logic, I think that has to be the pick, unless you're going for a hot take. Two seed also getting a bye. I'm going with the Mets. I know the DeGrom news is concerning, and Scherzer's hurt too. Eventually they have to have a good year, right? Like eventually it has to happen.
There's and an I argument want, to be made that they're due, is what you're getting at.
Yeah, and I want, like, I would, it would be kind of fun if the team that spent money wins, and then maybe it becomes like reverse Moneyball and inspires teams to not do what Oakland is doing. But I don't know. I still like the Mets there in the East. Division winner out of the Central, I got the Brewers, but I have them like definitely low on the win totem pole. Wild card, I got the Phillies as the first wild card team. I got the Giants as the second wild card team. And I'm going with the Marlins as a surprise team for the third spot. I think that rotation is just going to be dynamite. When we get to the award predictions, I'll have a little bit there. I think Avi has a career renaissance, maybe not so much, but you know, Soler hits 40 home runs, Jazz Chisholm breaks out. I have to have one fun playoff pick in there, and I'm going with the Marlins.
Yeah, I saved my fun playoff pick for the American League.
Okay.
So I love that Marlins pick just because it's fun. I love Jazz. Jazz is fantastic. And yeah, of course, Soler is the guy. Of course, it's the perfect fit for Soler. I think he had to play for them. It was like the opposite when Cespedes went to Oakland. You know, it's like, what are you doing? Yeah, also, someone needs to sign Cespedes too, by the way.
Younger.
That's true. Yoelkis is back. So I'm just adding to my possible White Sox jersey list, or I might just get all the Cespedes team jerseys that he played for my love for him. Yeah, no, I like those picks. So you don't have the Padres making the playoffs again.
No, again, second year in a row, I don't have them. And I'll tell you why. I think Tatis is going to miss some time. There's a lot of talk about, you know, him, Machado. Let's see, who else did they get this offseason? I mean, Hosmer, as long as he is there, is terrible. Luke Voit is like a power hitter, and that's it. Their outfield has some questions in it. And the rotation is like none of them did good last year. And I think they'll be better, but like, are they going to get through the gauntlet of the NL West with a better record than like the teams in the East will? I don't think so.
They did just trade for Sean Manaea, though. So he's got to stay healthy, too.
Every pitcher that went there last year, their arm fell off. Not obviously, but like they had Jake Arrieta pitching meaningful innings in September.
Yeah,
they're going to need a lot of manager war out of Bob Melvin.
Yeah. So, I mean, yeah, I'm still going with them just because of the excitement factor, but I'm starting to see like how it's not the best of picks. Like it's not a sure thing.
No.
I need Sean Manaea to do something. I need him in a playoff game, you know, that with a team that cares.
You've been on him for years now.
It's got to be 5 or 6 years now. Here's the thing. I heard this. I thought it was great. Is that if you buy MLB 22 The Show, you will have spent more money than the Oakland A's did this offseason.
That's true.
That is so sad.
Manaea was their highest paid player at $9 million. Now they had some list. They're at like $30 million in payroll in there right now. They had a higher payroll in 1991 or whatever when they won the World Series.
Yeah. No, that's
it's disgusting. That's sad.
We'll definitely get into it. All right. So we've got our NL picks. I'm going to give you my AL picks. My top seed, Blue Jays. Then I have the White Sox with the second best record. Then I have the Yankees with the third best record. The Mariners with the fourth best record. Red Sox and Tigers with my last pick to get into the playoffs. Los Tigres. Just because I think they're going to have an easy time in the division, except for the White Sox. But I could see them possibly getting 7 or 8 wins against the White Sox this year out of those 19 games.
Yeah. I mean, I don't hate the Tigers pick. I still just think their pitching hasn't wowed me enough, you know, seeing them play against the Sox. And obviously they're young. They're going to have some growing pains. I just think it's going to be next year when the AL Central becomes much more of a gauntlet with them. I don't know what the Twins are doing. Cleveland's far away. Maybe the Royals take a big leap, but I think it's next year when the Tigers get close personally. I don't think there's enough depth there. And if anyone gets hurt, like if Eduardo Rodriguez gets hurt, I think they're screwed in the rotation. But I don't hate the pick. It's basically my Marlins pick for the AL. is probably the best way of putting it.
Kind of where my mind.
The young team takes huge steps. They're electric, lights out, and they get in the playoffs.
And that means I have the Rays, the Astros, and the Angels missing the playoffs.
We actually got a lot of some differences here too.
Yeah, I made some switches from last week too. I think I switched the Phillies and the Mets based on injury news.
Yep.
And I think that was it. But yeah. All right, let's hear yours. I know right where we're coming from, but
yeah. So I got Toronto as the one seed and the White Sox as the two seed. I just think, you know, the Toronto, they're going to get the feast on the Orioles. I think, I don't know, maybe they're a little more battle tested and having to play hard right till the end. Whereas I think the White Sox still win the division by a good five games or more. Astros, I got as the three seed. I still like them out of the West. Even though, you know, they lost Correa. I think Verlander is going to have a comeback and have a decent year. They got some solid pitching. I don't know what's going on with McCullers. But I think I think Kyle Tucker is going to be a dark horse MVP guy. And I like that team a lot coming out of the West. Also just kind of an indictment of, I don't really believe in anyone else in that division that much, especially not the Angels. I picked them for the playoffs last year, and I am not making that mistake again. In any event, I got the Rays as the first wild card. I don't know why. Like, I know they're projected to be good, but every year I'm like, the Rays aren't going to be that good, and then they're that good. So I'm done picking against them. I got the Yankees as the second wild card, and I got the Mariners as the third. Kind of went back and forth between the Red Sox and the Mariners, but I can't pick four teams from one division.
That would be, obviously, with the new playoff format, the first time it ever happened. Yeah. And I also contemplated it when I was making my picks.
Yeah.
Problem is they all have to play each other 19
exactly,
times.
Exactly.
You know, so if they're all that good, it's hard for them to stack wins, exactly. Which is why I have two teams coming out of the NL Central, is because you're going to get 19 games against the Cubs, 19 against the Pirates, and 19 against the Reds.
Yep.
I mean, you're probably going to get 40, 45 wins out of those games.
Yep. Yeah, that's why I can't do four teams. I think I just think the Red Sox are just a step below the others. I mean, I guess I could have gone Rays or Red Sox, but I'm giving the Rays the benefit of the doubt.
That's fair enough. So we've got our playoffs, we've got our World Series. Now let's just talk local Cubs and White Sox news. I'll start with some Cubs news, then we'll get into the White Sox, because I definitely have some things I want to ask about that. First of all, Kyle Hendricks got the opening day nod. It's exactly what I wanted. Although Marcus Stroman is the kind of guy that will be fired up to be a two. He had 8 strikeouts in his last appearance. One of the things that I want to see out of, I guess if I'm going to make a player comp, I want to see the jump that Zach Wheeler made with his new team that Marcus Stroman is going to make with the Cubs. I think that's, I guess, two very different profiles, two very different, you know, stuff. But at the same time, I think that Stroman can make that jump. No one really saw Wheeler doing what he did last year, making the jump from the Mets. He was their third or fourth guy there. And then he became, you know, as I often predicted on the show, a Cy Young candidate. So I'm hoping Stroman makes that jump that Zach Wheeler does. Additionally, of course, have to mention Nick Madrigal hitting a 3-run homer against the White Sox today in a revenge game in the middle of the spring. So I don't know. I guess we can ask another over-under. How many homers does Madrigal hit in Wrigley this year?
Ooh, I'm going under 5.
Under 5? I'm going to say he's going to have some weird ones. The wind's going to help. I'm going to say he's going to have 9 home runs this year.
I'd go single digits.
Nine is single digits.
True. I mean,
he's going to get an inside the park home run against the Phillies.
I mean, if they were in the NL East, he might hit 10 just playing the Phillies alone. But if that's supposed to be like not an insult, but you know, some sort of dig, it does nothing for me. I've moved on.
I would hope so. Other thought, because you mentioned it earlier, how soul-crushing would it be if Craig Kimbrel closed out the World Series against the White Sox, striking out AJ Pollock?
Oh, that'd be something. I don't even know how I would react to that. I mean, we talked about it. I said I wanted to keep Kimbrel outside of this type of trade, which I did not think they were going to be able to pull off. I think the stuff is still there. It just needs to be the right situation. Apparently, he needs to pitch 9. I don't know. I don't totally buy that, but yeah, I don't know. As long as the White Sox win a World Series in this window, I don't like all of that. Then goes away. They just need to get to one of them. If it's not this year, it's got to be next year. But I don't really want to think about that though. I just, maybe Craig Kimbrel will be the 8th inning guy and Bruce Starr will be closing out games. That'd be a little more fun.
Yeah, I just wanted to just throw that in your face a little.
And I rambled because I didn't want to give an answer.
Exactly. No, very diplomatic of you, sir. But it was a nice segue because obviously Craig Kimbrel was traded to the White Sox, or away from the White Sox, I should say, for AJ Pollock, veteran outfielder, to fill that right field spot that we were talking about on the last show. Thoughts on that? You've already kind of went over it. But also, any other White Sox news you want to go over? And I have some thoughts on it.
Yeah, Pollock trade, I love it. I think, like, you know, like I literally just said 2 minutes ago, I was against trading Craig Kimbrel for a salary dump trader for like some 27-year-old no-name from AA because good teams do not salary dump good players. Like, that's just not something serious teams do regardless of money. I was shocked when they got AJ Pollock. He is a 3-WAR player last year in 117 games. Definitely a 20 to 25 home run threat guy. Plays, you know, and he's not as good defensively as he was in Arizona, but he's better than like Gavin Sheets or Andrew Vaughn or Eloy. Like, he's going to be a solid defensive player. Good, bad. Biggest question with him is that his health. I think that's always been it with him. The thing I like about him, and this was mentioned in the blog Max wrote up about the trade, is that with guys like Engel, Vaughn, Sheets, Eloy, even though they're not, you know, all great outfielders, there's going to be enough of an opportunity to either bench him, put him on in the DH spot, where he's not going to have to be dependent on to play the outfield 150 games a year, which I think will help on that health thing. Because ultimately, all that's going to matter here is that he's healthy come October and that he does enough to help them win. I think even without that trade, the lineup was good enough to get to the playoffs. But I think that trade was great, accomplished really what they needed with a competent right fielder. I was shocked they got that return for him.
Yeah, I mean, you got someone you could slot right into your starting lineup. Yep. He's probably going to be in that 7, 8, 9 slot. Harrison's probably going to be your 9, unless you want to put him in the random 1 or 2 spot, depending on the lineup situation. But, I mean, yeah, I guess your only weakness now, in the batting side of the lineup is probably Harrison, and I'll say it, Grandal as well. No, I'm kidding.
Okay.
he'll get on base. He'll get on base. And what do we want?
Like
we
30
want
homers?
Yeah, I know. You knew I had to.
Yeah,
do it.
Yeah, you know, we like to have fun here. Other news,
I was gonna say another news. Okay. We have a Lance Lynn injury we need to talk about.
Can I talk about Giolito signing first?
Yeah, go for it. Yeah. Sorry.
Okay, so I'll start with the happy news. Giolito finally got past that saga where they had a 50K difference between him and the team that almost led to them going to arbitration. Luckily, they both came to their senses, particularly the White Sox, for realizing that taking your ace to arbitration over $50,000 is a terrible look. So luckily that got resolved. On the bad side of things, Garrett Crochet needs Tommy John surgery, which sucks. And Lance Lynn tore a meniscus tear or something with his meniscus. Needs that surgery and is going to be out probably about 8 weeks, which is brutal, especially because the White Sox starting rotation is very good at the top, with Lynn, Giolito. Cease was quietly one of the better pitchers in the American League last year. I think he had more WAR than Robbie Ray, on Fangraphs, but he, you know, was one of the best strikeout guys in the AL. And then, you know, Keuchel, 5-starter, okay, whatever. Kopech, for whatever he's going to be able to give you, he should be good. But without Lance Lynn, that leaves a huge hole in the rotation. Pretty much relying on Vince Velasquez and Reynaldo Lopez for legitimate innings for the first month and a half of the season, which is a very scary gambit to be running here. Crochet, that sucks too, mainly because it's a young player that, you know, has electric stuff and was a very good relief pitcher last year in his role and was probably going to take that next step to starting, kind of like the Kopech plan. I don't know what they do with him now that he loses a year or more of his development. The clock's ticking on his service time. He's been in the major since he was drafted, basically. So I don't know what they do now. He should come back fine. It's just more that, like, you know, development path. I don't know what happens there. But the Lance Lynn trade is definitely the one that's going to hurt him more this year, I think, just because losing that piece in your rotation is a huge loss for a team that doesn't really have anybody behind him. Unless we sign one of your favorite players, but I'll let you broach that subject.
Yeah, I want to talk. I've done the meniscus thing. It's not fun. And also, I'm not 270 pounds. So there's that side of it, too. I think the 4 weeks for him to come back is way too aggressive. And it's going to, especially, I'm not sure which knee it is, but if it's on, it's got to be, I don't know, is it on his
right knee, I think. So is
right knee. And he pitches from the left side.
He's a righty. So is not plant leg.
Yeah, so he's not landing on it, so I guess that's good. But the problem with the meniscus, and I'm not a doctor by any stretch of the imagination, but twisting and changing, you know, direction is where it's going to be problematic. Yep. And I think on that leg, that's going to be I would not be surprised whatsoever if there was a setback. I think we see him mid-June, honestly.
Yeah.
And I think they should be smart to do that. Mm-hmm. But I guess we'll wait and see. But yeah, rumors that Johnny Cueto is going to be a White Sox player. We've talked about that at the top of the show. I think he's better than Velasquez still. And I think he's better than Lopez. He'd be your current number three starter. Yeah. I don't know why he hasn't signed yet with anybody. And for a nasty bullpen that the White Sox have, if you have a guy who's like messing with timing the entire five innings that he's pitching, and then you bring in the gas for the last three and a half, four innings, like it's a no-brainer whatsoever. And he's just one of those high energy guys. He would be the John Lackey that you bring to a potential World Series team. And you have to do it.
Yeah. I mean, and you don't like, the thing is, you're not signing him to pitch in your World Series rotation. He needs to give you innings that are not awful between now and whenever Lance Lynn is back, which I think he's very much capable of doing. And like you said, the timing thing, it's a different look than what most of their other pitchers give you. It's a lot of, you know, outside of like Dallas Keuchel, it's a lot of high four-seam fastball and breaking balls away. And he at least gives it a different look that I think would be helpful. Done it for long enough. I would like the move just because they need people to pitch innings. And like Lopez, we know what he is. He was a pretty good swing man last year, but he has not been an above average starter in like 4 years now. And even then it was like basically league average. So I don't think you can trust on him to be a starter for 2.5 months. Or Velasquez, for that matter.
Yeah, I mean, Velasquez, I didn't understand that signing. I don't know.
But the problem is, with one injury, like he's your guy.
Yeah, exactly.
Depth is good when it's two or three away. When he's your guy, that's when it's a little dicey.
Yeah. So injuries on the Cubs side, it looks like Miley is day-to-day. I think you just push back his start, make him the fifth starter or something like that. He probably should be fine. Andrelton Simmons as well. But they have some infield depth where that's not that big of a deal. All projections have Ian Happ starting in the outfield, which you know how I feel about that. But I feel like that's just like
– the year.
Yeah, the year he hits 230. In any case, we'll move on from that. I think you and I are both excited as all hell for baseball. I started Cubs open up against the Brewers, and who are the White Sox opening up against?
We got the Tigers.
Okay, so in my opinion, playoff teams, right?
Yeah.
Potential playoff matchup.
Which, with Tim Anderson suspended for the first two games of that for his altercation with the Tigers last year. I don't know if you remember that when Abreu got hit and they had the benches clearing brawl.
Yeah, no, I do remember.
So he's out the first two games.
So I guess they'll have to wait for the third game for the Tim Anderson, Javi Baez, fist fight or something like that.
Definitely going to have to get your, you know, the photo op's going to be one of them is on second base with the other playing short.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Most likely going to be Tim Anderson on second base. I'm just going to put that out there.
Javi's not on second. He's touching home, whether he's, you know, he hit the home run and got there, or he's walking back.
Yeah, exactly. So finally, I think not the moment we've all been waiting for, but just kind of the fun side of things. None of us know exactly what's going on in the league, but we're still going to make our MVP, Cy Young, and Rookie of the Year predictions. So I'm going to start with you, Pat. Let's make you start in the American League. Okay. Give me your Cy Young first and why.
I'm going with Jose Berríos. I think basically for me, I think he's going to end up being the best pitcher on that Toronto team, and they're going to be the one seed. Oftentimes that ends up being, you know, who the Cy Young guy is. I just think he's been really overlooked during his time in Minnesota and is poised for a huge breakout year, especially on that staff where they're going to have a lot of good pitching. They're going to have the offense, so he's going to get the win totals, which doesn't really matter. But, you know, for voting, we all know it does. I like him coming out of there as probably the ace of that staff this year. And ace of the best staff in baseball oftentimes wins the Cy Young.
Yeah, I'm going a different route. I had picked Berríos like 2 years ago. And I actually did think about picking him again this year, but I made way for Marco Gonzalez from the Seattle Mariners.
Okay.
I think that they were such a feel-good story that people are actually going to start paying attention. They made some good – Seattle made some good signings as well. So people aren't going to be – they're not going to be prepping for Gonzalez, but then like midway through the season, you're going to see he's going to have like – really good numbers, and I was like, oh crap, like he's actually very good. I mean, he's been good for years, but again, you've never heard of it because he's West Coast. I don't know, I have a good feeling about him this year. I always kind of, for one of the leagues, I always kind of pick a dark horse when I pick. That's why I've had Manaea as my Cy Young winner like 3 years in a row. I don't know. Oh, I had Berríos before, but anyway, I'm going Marco Gonzalez. Who do you have in your Cy Young for the National League?
Well, this is kind of going along with another one of my playoff picks. I'm going with Sandy Alcantara out of the Marlins. I think one, he is great stuff. He was a very quietly dominant pitcher last year. And I think if the Marlins make the playoffs, it's basically going to be their starting rotation getting them there. So I think he's poised for a huge season down there in Miami. Yeah, that's basically it.
I am going the opposite route, the route you usually go. I'm going Walker Buehler. So we did the opposite, right?
Yep.
Best team, I think the best pitcher on the best team. So I think he gets it done. And yeah, a lot of West Coast love. In fact, all West Coast love except for one player in my entire
Oh, pick. Really?
Yeah. So with that being said, who is your AL MVP?
You probably knew where this one was going. Luis Robert. I think this is the year he breaks out. I think, like, obviously he was hurt for a lot of last year, and 2020 was just a weird year where the first month he was really good and then the second month he could not hit anything. I think this is the year he finally comes out on the national stage as like one of the best players in the sport. He hasn't really gotten that recognition yet on a national basis, as far as I can tell. I think what you saw him do last year, he put up like 3.8 WAR in like 60 games last year. I think he's going to have a huge season. He's going to be the focal point of that offense, and he plays Gold Glove caliber defense. So yeah, I'm going with Luis Robert.
Yeah. He did have like a very Frank Schwindel type end of his season when he came back.
He hit the ball so freaking hard too. He had a home run at like 117 off, I forget who it was. I think maybe Cleveland or somebody near the end of the year, just an absolute gunshot into the bleachers.
Love it. I am going with Yasmán. I'm just kidding. I'm going with Trevor Story as my American League MVP. I think his swing is really conducive to just absolutely lighting it up in that Little League ballpark in Boston. So I feel like he's going to have a ton of doubles, obviously. He might even lead the league in doubles, but I think he's just going to absolutely kill it. I don't think the leaving Colorado is going to be a problem for him, whereas it may be for some other players that end up in St. Louis. I don't know. Anyway, let's go to National League now. Who do you have?
I'm going with Mookie Betts. I think finally he gets done with the Dodgers there, and that's kind of, you know, the chalk pick. It's one of the best players on the best team. Did some debating on the NL side, but I just, like, you know, Juan Soto, but I just think the Nationals are going to be so bad that I don't think he's going to get the votes again. I think Mookie Betts is the pick there for me.
Yeah, in fact, the Nationals will be the worst team in baseball, according to our little wager.
The A's would want – they want.
I was so close to just switching to the Reds because, like, they still do have Juan Soto and Steven Strasburg, but, like, there's only so much those two guys can do surrounded by nobody. I don't know.
They got Nelson Cruz until July.
Exactly. I love their jerseys.
Those are cool. The City Connects. Yeah, the Cherry Blossoms is a great pick.
I like that a lot. My NL MVP is Chris Bryant. He will win for a second time. I think, in fact, the Colorado advantage will help him a lot. He does get a ton of lift on his swings. And the pressure's off now.
Yep.
For the first time in his career, there is no pressure. His team, there's nothing expected of his team. He's the guy.
Yep.
There's nobody who's competing with him for like being the best player on that team. And it's a no-brainer for me. I feel like
monster numbers.
I think he's gonna like bat. I mean, I think his batting average will still be the same, right? Because you're not changing, but he's still gonna bat like 270, 275 or whatever, but he might put up like 45 or 50 homers maybe. And I did read an article in the past that the Coors advantage is definitely over exaggerated, and it certainly is, but for a guy like Chris Bryant, who is all about launch angle, not even intentionally. I mean, it's just the way his swing is formatted. Like, it's just, the ball's just going to fly.
Yep.
All those doubles he hits are going to be, half of those will be home runs. So that's what I'm going with. And then last but not least, Rookie of the Year. We probably should have started with Rookie of the Year.
Yeah.
we're still getting there. Season four. We're figuring it out. We're just past, we're still getting through our arbitration years. And we'll eventually get that contract.
Sammy and George are taking us to arbitration next offseason.
Oh, it's going to happen. Well, you know, I have all these Mariners picks, so.
That's true. That's how I have them in the playoffs too. So, you know, I think we're getting some good graces there.
Yeah, definitely. Okay. So American League Rookie of the Year, who you got?
I'm going with Bobby Witt out of Kansas City. I think, you know, not a hot take at all. He's the number one prospect in baseball, and he's going to make the opening day roster. At least I think I read that. A lot of news of opening day rosters going around. In any event, I just think he's got a ton of power, huge potential there. And I think just the cool thing with that pick is kind of going on a segue for about 15 seconds here, is that the shortstops in the American League Central this year are going to be insane, between him, Correa, probably just for the year, Tim Anderson and Javi Baez, and then whoever's playing in Cleveland. I wish it was still Lindor, because that would have been a lot of fun with that group. But even still, a lot of good shortstops in that division.
Yeah, no, that's it. you'd have to look back in history to find a better grouping than that.
That's right. All-star games are not going to be a good measuring stick for like these guys right now.
They've never been. I'm going to be pretty honest with you.
You know what I'm saying.
No, for sure. At least you can stick a couple of them in a DH role if you really need to squeeze them in. I'm going with Julio Rodriguez, and it was just announced today that the Mariners were bringing him up for the starting lineup. I love it. It's anti-Cubs. It's like, you know, your guy is ready, then bring him up. You're ready to contend. So, I'll just leave it at that. But he was, a top three prospect in either in the Mariners system or in the MLB as a whole. So, or a third outfield prospect or something like that. And I think that division is weird enough to where like everyone's going to count. That division is going to be decided by one or two games. So why waste a couple of April wins? Because they're following that Padres method as well.
I mean, every other move they've done is signal they're going for it. So
yeah, for the first time, they have the longest drought basically. Yep. So it's time to get over it. All right. And last but not least, your National League.
I'm going with Hunter Green out of Cincinnati. I like the 100-mile-an-hour fastball. There's not going to be a lot of talent in Cincinnati, so the wins may not be there, but I just think he's going to be able to put up some decent numbers against, teams like the Pirates for a couple of starts. The Cubs, not going to be offensive juggernauts, and I don't think any team in that division really is an offensive powerhouse, so he's going to get a benefit there. But I really like the stuff, like the way he pitches, just huge fastball. I think that often translates into a Rookie of the Year type line.
Some Kerry Wood like stuff. That'd be fun to watch. No, but seriously though, right? Just throwing gas and no one knows who he is, and he's not gonna put up 20 strikeouts in a game. But I'm going with Joey Bart, who the Cubs should have gotten in the trade with Chris Bryant. But who's to say? It's okay. They still got a pretty nice return. Yep. But in any case, Joey Bart, I think is the guy. San Francisco, I don't think they're going to replicate their success from last year, but if they're going to, they're going to need contributions from rookies and, guys that you don't expect to do it. So we got Joey Bart. So we have baseball in like 3 days.
I'm stoked.
Excitement level. Where are we at?
All the way up there. It's going to be great, especially because the Sox home opener, I think it's right now they're saying it's going to be 63 degrees for that.
Oh, fantastic.
Can't beat that in April. Usually snows.
Yeah, exactly. It's going to be a little cold, a little chilly for the Cubs on Thursday. I probably won't make it until the Rays are in town, but that's okay. But in any case, I'm in like 7 level excitement. I'm ready for like different kinds of excitement, like random, Schwindel's hit 5 home runs in 5 games kind of situation, not like playoff push, but hey, who's to say, right?
It's always fun.
Seiya Suzuki could be, he could win the Rookie of the Year, MVP, and then, they might have to try him at pitching, too.
At a certain point, you just throw him out there. Got to sell tickets.
Exactly. But in any case, that concludes our episode. So excited for baseball. Who wouldn't be? Final question, though. This one's a doozy, Pat. Are you ready?
I guess. It doesn't sound like it's going to be fun.
Who won the Craig Kimbrel trade between the Cubs and the White Sox?
I think I'm obligated to say that the White Sox won.
Because of getting Pollock though?
I mean, I think that has to be factored into it, that you got a competent right fielder and half a season of Craig Kimbrel. That didn't work out. But again, I think just a lot gets misinterpreted and what happened, it was a weird year. But I think getting Pollock is huge for this team. And especially if they're able to pull off World Series this year, then they won the trade. I don't care if they didn't actually win the trade. If they win a World Series with AJ Pollock in right field, they won the trade.
Exactly. I still would trade away Gleyber Torres in a heartbeat.
Pretty much anybody, if that trade says like World Series does not happen without that trade, it doesn't matter.
Exactly.
At a certain point, it's about being a fan and winning, and it's not about building a sustainable pipeline of talent. Eventually, it's about just having fun and winning something.
Yeah, I think if Cody Hoyer stayed healthy, I would say it's Cubs in a landslide. But if we're taking the totality of the circumstances on both sides, right now it's the White Sox. We'll see how it plays out. It all depends on if Nick Madrigal can hit 9 home runs this year.
That's a tall order.
It certainly is. Okay, that concludes our episode. We will be talking to you on a weekly basis now that baseball is back. Spotify, Apple Podcasts. We've got a new White Sox writer in Max. Great stuff so far. Keep checking him out. We're going to start churning out some Cubs articles too. And a lot of more exciting content. So all I can say is strap in, folks. We have baseball. Go Cubs, go White Sox, go MLB. And remember, everyone, Yadi Molina is not a Hall of Famer. Have a great day.
same old place, sweet home, Chicago.